Just in case you didn't notice.
Whenever we were thinking about what to say today, we realised that the congregation we're speaking to is very different today as to what it would have been before. So there are people who have done the whole journey with us, and there's other people who haven't. So we thought it was important just to say that we became Christian here. We first met Jesus here, had an amazing start. Adam was healed of epilepsy and dyslexia. Adam was saved after me, and it was all really
Adam became
incredible.
Very much less homeless as well, and got a job and stuff like that after coming here.
Yeah, so really this church was life-changing from the get-go for us. We became very involved, and then it was probably last May when we had Elijah. He's 18 months now, that really things crumbled a bit for us.
Yeah, I think, yeah, so Elijah was born. Elijah is now a year and 7 months. 18 okay. months?
Yep.
Is that not the same thing? My Maz is probably right, if you want. He's just over a year and a half. Ignore my Maz. That's why I didn't have a job for a while, so don't be judging. So we had Elijah, and Elijah was just a wee bit of an anomaly for the first 3 months. Elijah, we did find out in the end that he had a milk intolerance and he had reflux and all this kind of normal stuff that can happen. But he was also born with this, like we... I was going to say, I can't say that. Can this be edited? I'll say I sent it my dad if you want to edit. It was like a wee Jewish cap. So it was. So he had like this wee dark mark right around here. And we were initially told that it was bruising by the hospital.
It wasn't actually that small. It was 10 by 12 centimeters of black skin on his head. Yeah. And they originally said it was bruising, but sent us away saying it was a birthmark. So we sort of just went with that and had a very screamy baby for 3 months. And then... It was around then, when was it, the August?
Yeah.
That we went to the hospital and the hospital said, no, actually, this is a thing called melanosis. And they rhymed off skin cancer, brain tumours, learning disabilities, mental health problems. And I actually remember the moment of the consultant walking out of the room and looking at Adam, thinking, what?
I remember just looking at each other going, this is crazy. Because from the start, it was, in fact, from the start, sorry, they said it was bruising, then it was a birthmark, and then we went to get consulted about it, and that's what it was. They just hit us with this stuff. It was like, oh yeah, it's single melanosis, and it means, pretty much told us, it means he will have cancer.
If he doesn't already have cancer,
he will have cancer. Mm-hmm. They told us he will have learning disabilities, even develop at the same rate as, or if he develops at all. We were just rhymed off this ridiculous list of stuff, and we instantly... now looking back, kind of accepted.
Yeah, I think nearly, we panicked. Although we'd seen so much healing in Adam's life, we'd seen the epilepsy go and dyslexia. When it's your child, it's
totally different.
It's more of a struggle, you know. So we'd sort of felt that our kids were untouchable, and then this happened, and we felt that he wasn't. And I guess around this time as well, Adam and I were very involved here at Exchange, and. We came to a place where we wanted to reevaluate sort of what we did in the church as a couple, and decided then to step back and step down from our leadership position here. So that was happening. Elijah happened.
And I think subconsciously for us, there was a wee chink in our armor that was just found. You know, it was that thing. And I think it's a chink in everybody's armor, to be honest. It's, you know, your child. And I think for us, it hit us. And I think a lot of us subconsciously... We made a lot of decisions, I think, that were, at the time, we totally, and wholeheartedly, and us, we didn't believe were decisions totally unlinked to Elijah. You know, I try to be a person, although in the background, I'll tell you different, I try to be a person that tries to be strong, and not in the sense of going, oh, I am very strong, I don't want to look weak ever. I just try to be, to go, no, Adam, let's think positively, think happy. So as I was convincing myself in this journey of going, be positive, inside, I was crumbling because of Elijah, and I was making all these other decisions and choices in my life that were, to me, unrelated, but I think in hindsight for us both, totally, massively, you know, we kind of convinced ourselves to the point where it was like, oh, you know, the Elijah stuff's okay, you know, we're all right, and actually to the point where the next part of the story is we made our decision then to leave Exchange through lots of things, through relationship breakdown with Andrew and Penny, who were our two closest friends at that time, probably actually Andrew was my only friend at that time, and then continued to be for the whole year I wasn't here as well, so that didn't work out very well for me either. But we then made the decision through relationship breakdown, through our own hardness of heart as well, in a lot of ways looking back now. We made a lot of decisions that then led us to leave here, which was our home. It was my only ever Christian experience, apart from my my grandparents, which, well, that's for a different time. It's a totally different experience of this church. But yeah, that led us to leave and then on to a very mental year.
Yeah, so we knew, you know, God had saved us whenever we knew very little about him. And we knew that we wanted to be evangelizing to people. So that was sort of what we saw this journey, the start of that year. Let's just go out and spend a bit of time in the world. And it's really taught us a whole lot, you know, in that probably last September.
Yeah.
What part of the story are you at?
Oh, man, I'm in the wrong part of the story. Just listen to Hannah, ignore me. I'll stand over here. I'll like narrate the bits I meant to do.
I was going to say that it was summertime then. We'd been trying to be at church, and it hadn't been really that good. Adam was making up excuses.
I was sick every week.
About going. There I was with the kids pushing them in. Oh yeah, Adam's not well today.
Again.
But actually, when we look back now, we were in church, but we were under a message of people not wanting to speak the truth because they're trying to keep too many people happy.
Yeah.
And so here we were in the depths of all of Elijah's things, trying to find truth, trying to hold on to truth, but sitting in a church where we felt weren't bold enough to say, this is what God wants for you.
Yeah, we were just under a message. It was kind of, you know, oh, there is healing, but there was all these buts tagged on you. There's all these, like, and it was just a little but, to be honest with you. It was just like constant. We couldn't hack it. But did you get that one eventually? See that? See what I did there? Well, so yeah. I just couldn't cope.
Adam kept coming out and having to really filter, kept getting really frustrated, and I was saying, just filter it, it's fine. You know, you've got to filter it through what we know grace to be and who we know grace to be. Yeah. But then that gets tiring also, you know, whenever actually you get to a point where you just need to lean on God and you need to trust him and put your life sort of back together, but then you're having to come out and filter everything and you're just not really sure what's going on. That's tiring.
Yeah, you're left in a bit of a mess because we end up then being kind of ahead onto ourselves nearly, which was totally wrong. And we end up being these, I was this person who, I became totally recluse from people. I didn't like people, didn't want to like people, didn't want to be around people. I was trying at the same time to do this thing that I felt was where I was meant to be, which wasn't working either.
And we didn't like church.
We didn't like church. We were lovely people, really, I promise you. But we were honestly at this point where I especially just, we both then got to February last year. And Elijah has to make a trip to Great Ormond Street every year to see the specialist over there about the CMM, because it has to be very closely monitored by us and by them. So we made that trip, and I remember it was probably the only show of faith I had that year was when we were sitting in Pizza Express around the corner from Great Ormond Street, and I said to Hannah, I was like, I'm believing that when we go in here to see the specialist, the first time we met our specialist, that she's going to tell us this is the least worrying. Was that my exact words?
The least threatening
type of CMN. And actually, that's exactly what she told us. You know, and that time that we sat in Pizza Express and talked about Elijah was actually the second time. You know, he was 8 months old, 9 months old. Mm-hmm. And it was only the second time we had ever discussed CMN with regard to Elijah the whole time he was born. And it was hard. So we went in and she told us. She was like, no, this is actually one of the least worrying types of CMN. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. That worked that time for me there. You know, get my mind set right. But then,
well, it was strange because in amongst all of this, there were days that Adam and I, we knew it wasn't right where we were in life, but we just couldn't admit that where we needed to be.
We were wrong.
We were wrong. So I can remember walking up our path and saying to Adam, there's nothing quite as fulfilling as serving where you're meant to serve.
Yeah.
And there's nothing as fulfilling as having purpose. And he agreed with me. And then we were like, right, we just won't talk about that for another wee while. And then it was probably summertime then that Adam actually had a dream about Andrew.
He bought one secret. Stephen told you all that?
The dream just really surprised you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll do that one off, Mike.
Because it was, they were in a coffee shop, it wasn't the coffee shop, and Andrew was sitting in the corner whenever Adam was meeting somebody else, and stood up and hugged him when he was leaving, and you both said to each other that you loved each other,
mm-hmm.
And you woke up in the morning, what was that, and why did that happen?
I was just blown away, because at this stage, you know, we had not any communication, well, I had maybe chosen not to have any communication, I kind of poured myself off in the world with Andrew, and just to have this fall into my, I tried to clip my fingers, I can't clip my fingers, but anyway, you get the point. That's it. So at this point, and so for that to fall into my mind, and come, I was like, that's God. It's a God thing. It can't be anything but a God thing. So I then made the decision. In fact, no, I'm telling a lie. So then out of the blue, 2 days later, literally 2 days later, Andrew texts me. So this is the first time we had any correspondence in forever. And Andrew texted me and said, hey, bro, I hope you're well. Just praying for you here. I hope the family's good. And I was like, that's definitely a God thing. I've had a dream 2 nights ago. God's prepped me to soften my heart and to say, and then Andrew's texted me and I was like, right, this is...
So then that started it, just a process of reconciliation with Andrew and Penny and meeting up. And then I said that I would come and be here to show that I could rub the slate clean and move forward. But Adam and I actually came here and very strongly felt God speak to us and say, you need to be here. This is home. Yeah. And so we're here. So
Andrew, don't lose. You're like, we're here. I was excited or not.
It's good. So Andrew asked us to share today what it is about here that was different. And, you know, for me, in the depths of all of the fear that came with Elijah's diagnosis, we really needed this message. We really needed to hear, actually, that God wants him well. And
people who love us unconditionally, that's a thing as well, you know, be so bold. Is that, you know, we all know that there's people who leave all churches and any church that happens, but there's also people who I know who, if I can be really honest, have left here for certain reasons. And I actually want to personally clear something up and say, we are the first people to ever have walked out of this place and have then made a decision to come back again, ever. And the reality for me is nobody has ever given Andrew and Penny the opportunity to display the love and the care and the affection they have and compassion they have for people in real life. Nobody has ever given that option before until we decided to, and we trust in God to go, you know what, this is the right thing. And when we made that choice, and when I met up with Andrew, I wasn't there when Hannah first met up with Penny, but honestly, the love, the acceptance, the compassion, I don't know how many times I said thank you to Andrew in the first couple of weeks. In fact, still sometimes by myself saying, he's like, would you shut up, stop saying thank you to me, in love and grace. So, but honestly, like the way we have been treated, the way when we have turned around and we have said, we screwed up, we got that wrong, we've done this wrong, the love that we have been shown is like nothing I've ever experienced, even in my family life, even in my, sometimes with Hannah. That's only a joke. I'm talking about me, not Hannah, okay, obviously. Okay. But honestly, like how we have been treated, accepted, and loved is as close to Jesus as I have ever experienced in my life. And I want to make that very clear.
Yeah, and I think some time ago we covered the culture of honor here at Exchange. And for us, it really changed us as people. It changed us as leaders at the time. And for us, it's just being completed in this journey of actually, even though your feelings tell you one thing and you think you should go by them, that actually God wants to maintain connection. And so there was a time Penny left me flowers last Christmas at the door and I was like, oh, why did she do that? But actually, I understand. And, you know, I now see that there was a love connection. We were trying to maintain that.
That these guys were walking out that at the time we didn't maybe get.
But, you know, if we hadn't have listened... The other thing that I feel like Exchange taught us was obedience. It was always listen. This is it's grace that changes you from the inside out. It's not anything else. And so we always knew from the start of our journey that if God was going to change us, we would know first.
Yep.
And
we would have to listen and be obedient.
We would need to listen. And so we did listen in this journey and we're here. And it would have been very, very easy to just say, no, it's okay. That's too difficult. But actually we knew God would bring us through it, and that again is thanks to Exchange. So, you know, we just feel like the foundations were so strongly set here. And yeah, as Andrew says, I think things have relaxed a lot here as well. You know, it's not as bright as shiny as other places, but we have the core message, we have the foundations, and I think if we all just decide to stick in and be here, things are going to be amazing.
And also in our journey, in that way, there was a thing in Marcel was taking us all through, and I said, and I was one of the first people that came to, and it was, you know, I said, you, there's no other message like this, and Marcel made the joke of, oh, so that's why you came back, because there's nowhere else you can find. But you know what, the honesty is, there is no other message that you get like this place. You do not get teaching or the grace theology and belief that this place offers either. You know, that is incredible. And we never, anywhere we went, there's some places where it was great, 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 and then there's a tag on of disclaimer, but
or only
if.
And for us, there's a lot of judgment. You know, there are people we know who go through different things in their life, and we know that people are saying certain things, and there's judgments being made. And for us, that's not Jesus, you know. No. So it's stripping that all back and coming back so we feel this is the purest form of the gospel.
It really is. And we honestly, without this place, even through the past 6 months of coming back, we have just totally back and changed to better people than we ever have been before, because it's incredible. You know, to be... Yeah, just there's nothing like it. There's nothing that we have experienced like it.
I feel like the experience, you know, I wish in some ways it hadn't happened. I said that to Andrew the other day, that in other ways I feel like it's deepened relationship for me. It's deepened personal relationships. It's also deepened my relationship with God. You know, where I now know what it's like to feel angry with him. I know what it's like to have a child who's all these things are spoken over. So I can relate to people now who go through those things, whereas now I realise there were times before I was naive, even though I didn't realise I was. I was naive and thinking, oh, you could just proclaim this over your child's life, and actually I know now what that's like and the strength that takes to do. And then also I know now what it's like to hate church. And I know what it's like to not want to see the significance of church and not believe it works. Yep. And so I know God will use that in us to go to people who are there now and show them that actually there's a different way.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's a, right, turn face. You can face the camera. Let me move forward. Thank you. So you get in. Thank you. Everybody comes right to the back. Like, can you cuddle up here? And we're going to pray. I want you to stretch your hand out towards these guys and their family, towards the Crees, because we love them dearly. And there's a different spirit in this church, folks. It's one of grace, and it's one of forgiveness. It's one of purpose. And, you know, for me, the bottom line is this, is that I am totally unashamed of Jesus Christ. And so I want to speak over you today. I want to speak over Elijah, the complete healing of Jesus Christ from his very core of his DNA all the way through. We curse CMN. We curse it at its roots. We say over Elijah today, you're healed in Jesus' name. And so that just as you were sitting there, I just... And you said about those words that were spoken over to him. And every time I see little ones who are sick, the Lord just burned. There's a verse that burned in my heart from when I was young, and it says, you will live to see your children's children. And it says that in the book of Psalms. And you know what? That was a word that was spoken over my family when my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And you know what? He's living today and seeing his children's children. And so I speak the same. Do it again, Lord. That spirit of prophecy which says, do it again. Over this family, Lord, we have not even begun to see the purpose for which you have called them. Father, we love them. God, we thank you for their heart for you. We thank you that through thick and thin and everything else, they have a heart for Jesus and a heart for your kingdom. Lord, we thank you that every day is a new page being written in their story. But Lord, this is a couple with an incredibly powerful call to bring the kingdom of God, to be a siren call to this nation and beyond, that Jesus Christ is a healer, he's a restorer, he's a redeemer. And so today we're going to stand with them, and we're going to speak that over young Elijah, over every bit of his body. We're going to tell those spots and those marks that there's going to be no more increase, they're going to start in decrease, that his body will function perfectly well. He will not get cancer, listen to me. He will not have any developmental difficulties. He will not have any of the manifestations of CMM, because at his core, Jesus Christ is his healer, and he is working that through his body in Jesus' name. So you guys have faith, because you know what? See it at this church. We're not afraid to say it. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. What did he do? What did he bring? What did he provide? And so it's not about false hope. It's about the hope of God Almighty over this family this morning. So we stand it. We declare it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give them a round of applause.
Did I really need to make it clear this morning as to why this church matters to you? You know, at this time of year, what happens is a lot of people talk about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Isn't that right? What are we going to do this year? How's it going to be different? What's our plan? And you see it in churches. I have been kind of stalking some churches online, just trying to figure out what's, you know, what are people doing out there? And all I see, let me be honest, I'm not criticizing. I just see lots of activity. 40 days of this and 30 days of this and 10 days of the other, and this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it. And I don't want to talk about any of that this morning. Do you know why? Because there's a more important question that you need to ask yourself in your life is not what you're doing or how you're doing it, it is why you are doing it. Because all the hows and all the whats are simply manifestations of what is going on in your life, why you believe one thing or the other. Why do you do those things? What is our why? I want to talk about why grace, and you've seen just a little facet of it manifested in our relationship with Adam and Hannah, and I want to thank them for their honesty. I want to thank them for having the guts to stand up, and it takes a big man and a big woman to say, you know what, we messed up, and we messed up too, Andrew and Penny, but it also takes big people to do that, and it shows you the mark of what God can do in a spirit of grace and in a spirit of forgiveness. And many people don't make it because they don't carry a spirit of grace and forgiveness with them. And they blame God and they blame other people. But actually, when you carry the spirit of grace, you carry the spirit of forgiveness, all things are possible. All things are possible. And so that's what encourages me about this story. And so, I mean, privately over Christmas, we were reminded that we have a call. Andrew and Penny were reminded of that. And we really need to, that needs to sink into my heart again, I'm going to be honest. That's a journey that Penny and I are working out to go, to what extent do we really believe in the call that God has in our lives? Because that's what happens when you get a little bit battered and a little bit bruised. But we've come into this year going, but this church has a call, actually. You sitting in these seats, if you're part of this family, you have a call. You have a call to see the purpose of God in this country and beyond, and that is really important. But I want you to understand today why this church matters. Is that good? Okay. If you're going to sit here week after week, if you're going to invite your friends, why does it matter? In John 17:3, now take a note of these verses, write them down, and because they're important, put them on your phone. Make notes, do whatever you have to do. Let me tell you this. Jesus says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you. This was when he was praying, just about to be taken back up to heaven. He goes, this is eternal life, Zoe, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. This is knowing God. It is not getting saved in the meeting, staying in the meeting, dying, and at some point you hope that you get to heaven. Jesus said that eternal life is knowing God. And what the word that, if you've been around this church for a while, you'll hear this, you'll have heard me say it. It was not the knowing in your mind, okay? It was the knowing of experience. He uses a word called ginosko in Greek. So what he says is this, life is about experiencing God. It's not about knowing about God simply. It's not about being saved in the meeting, hanging on through all of life's stuff until you get to heaven. But what the whole point of encountering Jesus is that you experience God life. Now, God life looks totally different to the kind of life that most of us lives. My favorite story, like I said, in the whole Bible is Joshua and about the children of Israel. And at the beginning of that story, at the beginning of Joshua's journey, which I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to throw it out headline because I really want to get into the meat of it at some other point. And I might actually do a series on it because it's just flipping brilliant. So Dr. Phil said last week, you know, the whole thing of Joshua, when he's going into the promised land, don't be afraid. Why? Because I am with you, and everywhere where you step your foot, it's already yours. The Lord says, I am giving it to you, but he describes the future as a present tense reality. So where you put your foot, I am giving it to you, actually reads as, I have given it to you already. And what, if you don't understand theology, understand this, that Joshua in the Old Testament is a picture, is a type of Jesus. The name Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, which is the same name Joshua. It means God is our salvation. It means God is the God who saves. And so Joshua is named as the man who will see the salvation of God, all right? And so you need to understand that a little bit about it. I'm trying to give you a little bit of context so we can just get on to the main point. And so the journey that Joshua goes on is just like yours. But there's a big why in the middle of, at the very beginning of his story, which really illustrates why grace is the only spirit that will ever inherit the promises of God. And you see it right in the Old Testament, okay? Whenever you look for Jesus in the Old Testament, you will see him everywhere. He's concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New, but it does not mean that he is not there. God has been a God of grace since the very beginning. He didn't change his mind at Jesus. It was always grace. Always grace. And the issue was not us, or the issue was not God, it was us. And so I'll describe that a little bit in the middle, in a minute. But here's the story. The story is God delivers people. Look at the children of Israel and think about your life. What happens is they're in slavery in Egypt. We read about that. God raises up a deliverer called Moses who goes and takes them out of slavery. When they're in slavery, they're in lack, they're dying, they're diseased, and they have no hope and no future, generations upon generations. God delivers them, and he delivers them with the point of what? He just doesn't deliver them to go into nowhere. He says, I'm going to take you from slavery into abundance and into promise. It's called the Promised Land, isn't that right? And what we find is in the middle, there's this incredible journey, which actually starts with Joshua and Caleb, because in a journey that should have taken a week, it takes them 40 years, right? And what happens is they go from slavery and they are delivered, and God does it miraculously. Like when you were saved, it was miraculous. You might look at your life and go, oh, well, because you're looking at flesh and blood, but your spirit today is as perfect as it will ever be, as perfect as you will ever be. You're the same as Christ Jesus. As he is, so are you. That is the most unbelievable change that ever happened in your life. But a little bit like the children of Israel, we find ourselves wandering in the wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, God was good. He never left the people. He provided for them every day, but it was not in abundance. It was just enough to get them through. They moaned, they complained, they griped, they gave off. They loved God, they didn't love God. Anyone? Hey, is that just me? Okay, and so what you find is this. They wander around the wilderness for 40 years, and in the story today, I'll tell you why it was 40 years. Because whenever, I don't particularly like to talk about sin, but the issue about the 40 years is that whenever you allow sin in your life, it multiplies way beyond what you think. Because actually in the story is when, I'll come to it, it's a good point. But listen to this. When God saved you, he only had one thing in mind. He did not save you whether you were standing in a brethren meeting, whether you were in your bedroom, whether you were walking around Campbell College, he did not save you to bring you out into just enough. He did not bring you out to have you wandering around the desert or the wilderness, frustrated that abundance and supply and rest and wholeness is always just beyond you. He never did that. In God's mind, it was always, he only ever had one thing. In Leviticus 20, 24, let me preach grace from the Old Testament. You'll flip and love it. But I have said to you, you shall inherit the land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey, for I am the Lord your God who has separated you out from all the peoples. I will give it to you to possess. Who wants to possess that which God has given them this year? Who wants to walk straight into it? Who is tired in their lives today of walking around the desert? Who is tired of just enough? Anyone? You need to give me a response here, because if you're not tired, you're going to keep walking, and I'm walking out because I'm inheriting the land. It's time to possess our possessions. As Joseph Prince said actually last week, awesome talk. I think I've only had the highlights of it, but it looks brilliant. But in God's mind, he said, you're going to inherit what I am giving to you. Do you see that? Not what you're getting yourself, but I'm going to walk you into what I am giving you. Not about you, not about how strong you are, but it is a land flowing with milk and honey. Then in Joshua 1, 2, and 3, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Whole sermon right on that one. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land, what? That I am giving you. Do you see that? We read it all the time. Who's giving the land? God. Us? No. To the people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given it to you, just as I promised to Moses. In Deuteronomy 6, so here's what it says. Is God says, I give you the land. You inherit what I have given to you. And this is what it looks like in Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2, or 10 to 12. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. You don't earn it. He gives it to you with great and good cities that you did not build, houses full of good things that you did not fill, cisterns that you did not dig, fruitfulness all over the place, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. When you eat and you are full, and then take care lest you forget it was the Lord. So do you see in the mind of God, for you, your journey, like the children of Israel, is to go, this year, I'm going to possess that which he has given to me. In the Old Testament, it was all about what God would give to them. In the New, because we live after Jesus, he has given it to us, and we now simply possess it. We walk into it. But it's going to require something. What happens whenever, so God speaks all these promises, and we get to the point where God has delivered you out of sin. Most of us, our experience is wilderness living. We have just enough and no more. We have frustration. We walk around. And the promise of God is always just over there. If you're sitting here this morning, I've got good news for you. This is why this church matters. This is why this church matters. Let's have a look at Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13:2. I'm going to rattle through this, and I'll come back on it in more detail. Let me tell you what happened. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan simply talks of the promised land, all right? Which I am giving to the people of Israel. See, when you start to see grace, you see it everywhere. I'm giving it. I'm bringing you out to inherit what I am giving you. Do you see how it's all God towards the people? It's God saying, he has done it. It is his to give. I've given it to you. Just go and walk into it. From each of the tribe of their fathers, ye shall send a man, every one a chief among them. Numbers 13:2. So what happens is this. 12 spies are sent out. This is high level. 12 spies are sent out. One from each of the tribes of Israel. It includes two guys called Joshua and Caleb. Now here's what's really interesting. Joshua and Caleb didn't look any different, didn't talk any different, probably smelt the same. Up to this point, had the same shared common experience. So whenever you looked at Joshua and Caleb, they did not shine like ready brick men. They did not have a holy glow and 15 angels around them to be more important. They were selected, one from the 12 tribes, and sent into the land. They looked the same, sounded the same, and for all intents and purposes, you would never tell them apart by looking at them with your eyes. Now, this is where you need to see a huge difference, because grace does not automatically change what you see on the outside, but it radically changes from the inside out. Whenever you look at this church, you may see screens, worship, kids' work, and all the rest of it. And if you look at it simply the way that the world looks at it, you will see people, programs, and all that sort of stuff. But here's the point. This church matters because at our core, we are different. We have a different spirit in this place. We have a spirit of grace and forgiveness. Now, why does that matter? Because it is the only spirit that God uses for people to inherit his promises. Still don't believe me? It's in this story. You've got to see something from the inside to understand why it's different. Numbers 13:27. Let me tell you that the spies go out. They take 40 days to spy out the land. And after 40 days, they come back and they give the report. We came to the land which you sent us, Numbers 13:27. It flows with milk and honey. Can I just give you a little bit of history? Milk and honey is significant. It doesn't mean literally. To the Jews in the Midrash, which is like a kind of a history book around the Torah, the rabbis would explain that milk speaks of nourishment, being fed, and it speaks of richness, okay? And honey speaks of sweetness. So this is a land where you are nourished and fed, and it is rich, and there is a sweetness to being there. That's simply what milk and honey means. I'll explain it again some other time. But what they say is this. We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. They bring out these massive bunches of grapes that it takes two men to carry. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, and they're very large. Okay. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. Let me tell you about your 2016. God says, I have given you good land to possess. I have given you sweetness and feeding and nourishment. I have given you everything that you need to live in a place of abundance and blessing and rest. Hi-ho, look before you in 2016 and what do you see? You see challenges. Yeah? Isn't that right? So you have the promise of God and you have the reality of the challenge. Why do you think this church matters? Let me go on. You're going to have many promises spoken over your life this year. And you're going to also have many challenges. But let me just say this. You will only live to the potential of the message that you sit under. You can only believe to the potential of the message that you set yourself under. I am convinced with all of my heart that I would not have seen my two girls if we had stayed in a place that said, God does not want you well. Because you can only believe to the potential of the anointing and the message that you sit under. And that's why I love this church. That's why I love the fact that we go, Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a provider. Jesus is a forgiver. Why? Because as you sit there, whether you understand it or not, we can help you to believe to the potential of the message of Christ. But where you sit and you limit well, who God is and what he has done, you can only believe to that limit. Do you understand that? That's why this place matters. That's why we've got to see it from the inside out and not the outside in. Because honestly, I'm not particularly concerned about screens and lights. I'm concerned about relationship with people who I want to spend the rest of my days with and see the kingdom come in their family. I want to stand when I am old and gray and watch Elijah Cree dedicate his children with a story of God's goodness. Amen. Amen. Keep your lights and screens. This church matters. Yeah? Amen. Do you get me? Yep. So, I'm going to explain it very quickly. You see, whenever I look at the challenges that I have this year, I'm going to be like a Joshua or a Caleb who comes back. And there's just one little verse in the back in the whole pigging story, and it just jumped out at me. Because I said it 3 weeks before Christmas, and then I read it in the Bible, and I was thinking, God, that's really good. You see, 10 spies come back, and what they say is that, okay, remember they had a shared experience. They were delivered out of Egypt. They were supernaturally fed in the desert. Joshua and Caleb, along with the 10 other spies, they saw God in a little bit, providing for them every day and keeping them safe, but wandering around frustrated, complaining, groaning, and angry. Then when they step foot into the land, a bit like you've done, and you open yourself to the message of grace, and you go, wow, are you telling me that I can be healed? That my kids can be healed? Are you really telling me that Jesus is this good? That he loves me no matter what I do? That he loves me despite of my failings? That I can mess up in the worst way but still stand before God and expect to be blessed? Yes, that's grace. But 10 out of 12, what that means is the majority. Okay, I don't know what it's like out there. I got a lovely email from a guy called Tom Knight, a pastor in Indiana this week, going, you know what? I'm trying to preach this message, and my church is getting turned on to your app, and they're downloading messages. And he said, but people just go a wee bit mental. I'm paraphrasing, okay? Because I'm sure people in Indiana don't go mental if they're listening. But the point is, he's going, look, this message isn't very popular, right? Everyone in Indiana is mental. Okay, let's see how that goes on the internet. So the point is, 10 out of 12, I'm not a mathematician, but that means a whole lot more people came back and said, our challenges are bigger than the promise of God. Isn't that right? So most people, most churches, most other places, most other leaders will say, yeah, you have challenges. Let's just go for the wilderness and see God in little bits, because I can't see how we can overcome the challenges. And at its heart, that is the difference between law and grace. The whole way along was he would do it. He would give. He would supply. He would bring about. And what we would do is believe him and walk in. Amen. Do you see the difference between law and grace? When you live with a legal mentality and a law mentality, it's all impossible. It is all too big. It is all overcoming. It will all feel like too much. And so you will go, there's no way. And the vast majority of people today go, there's no way. Now listen to Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb look at it differently. They actually get really cross. It says they tear their clothes. Now, this wouldn't have been, they come back to the assembly and they go, no, it's flipping amazing. You want to see this place? There's nourishment, and there's sweetness, there's challenges, and all the rest of it. But, you know, here's the point. Joshua and Caleb understood that as God spoke as a future tense, it was a present tense reality. And so they stand before the people. And I don't think it was like, right, chaps, you don't think we can do it? Okay, what about you? Oh, you don't think, Caleb, I think we'd do it. Oh, why? It actually says that they ripped their clothes. I have never felt the need to rip my clothes, but what I'm guessing is you need to be pretty pumped up, okay? To be so frustrated that you go, are you mental? And they get so, did they rip each other's clothes? Or did they just rip each clothes? And what did that look like? I don't know. But all I know is that when somebody rips their clothes in the Bible, it's because they're really, really going crazy. And here's what they're going crazy about in Numbers 14:9. The Lord is with us. Don't fear them. The Lord is with us. And they're surrounded by people who experience just a little bit of God, but they're so afraid to stand up and go, he's with us, so we're not afraid. We're going to go for it. Let's just settle for the wilderness. Let's settle for the desert. Let's settle for seeing little drips of God, because we don't have the guts to stand up and go, it's not about us, it's about him, and I'm going to walk through into that which he has already given me. And do you know why this church matters? Because the verse in Numbers 14:24 says this. This is the spirit that inherits, like Joshua and Caleb. What made them different? Were they stronger physically? No, we're not told that. Did they have more experience? We're not told that either. All we're told is this is Hosea. He changes his name through Moses to Joshua, and he's the son of Nun. Not the son of a nun, because that would be awkward as well. But just son of Nun. That makes lots of sense in Ireland, doesn't it? Son of a nun. Can't move on quickly. And here's the point. 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb, here's what happens. Whenever you stand and you say, God, I hear your promise, but I'm afraid of them, and I'm afraid to walk in. Do you know what happens? The Lord said to them, for every day that you spied out the land, you will walk for a year. And that's where the 40 years comes from. The Lord said it over them. He said, if you want to let your challenges, listen to me, if you allow unbelief, which is sin, and a lack of faith in your heart, it will multiply far beyond and have bigger reach than you ever wanted to ever have. Don't allow it. That's the simple point. Every day, multiply to a year. Don't compromise on it. Don't allow those little things in your heart to go, oh, it's fine. This little bit of unbelief, it multiplies in you and has a far-reaching implication. Now, here's the thing. God says that it'll be 40 years. He also then says that every man and woman and child over the age of 20, whether they're children, will die in the wilderness. You will never inherit. Apart from Joshua and Caleb. Because Joshua led the people in and Caleb went with him and he inherited the land. What made them different? That's why this church matters. One verse, Numbers 14:24. My servant Caleb, listen to this, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I'll bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Because he was stronger, because he was a better strategist, because he had lights, because he had screens, because he had programs, because he had no. What sets this church out is that we have a different spirit. And when God sees the spirit of grace, you see, Joshua and Caleb were men of God's grace. Why? Because their whole posture was, we can't do it. There are challenges, but I'm not going to be afraid because it's all his work anyway. That's why I'm not afraid to speak over the Cree family this morning, that Elijah Cree will live to see his children's children. Why? It's not my work. It's his work. Amen. You get me? Yeah. That's a different spirit. That's a different spirit. That's why these two are sitting here this morning in relationship, in purpose, with a future in front of them, because we have a spirit of grace and forgiveness in this church. We have a different spirit. You will not see it looking from the outside things. Not right now anyway, but you will see it from the inside out. And here's the important thing. It is only the Spirit of grace that possesses the land. Why? Because you're walking in to his work and not doing it yourself. Do you get me? Law and grace the whole way through the Bible. Law and grace the whole way through the Bible. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. One which said, it's not about them, but it's about what God has said, what he has done, and because of that, so can we be. It's the same for you today, and I'm finishing right now. Health, peace, abundance, hope, prosperity, rest. It's all done. This is a year where we possess it. The ability to live free from sin and all of its effects, it's done. No more unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart and pride which separates and causes division, it's done. Only the Spirit of grace will inherit the promises of God. And that's why Exchange Church matters. Because at times that has been challenged in me, that has been provoked in me, that has been pulled at in me. But one thing that Penny and I have never let go of is the very reason why God planted this church was that we would be a family of grace. A family of God's goodness, a family of God's favor, a family of pointing people not to how clever we are or how good we are, but a family who say, listen, he has done it. Now how do we go possess it for you? What's your need in your family? What's your desire in your family? Because he's already provided for it, so how do we help you possess it? It's only that Spirit of grace that inherits. Do you get that? Isn't that good? You can only believe to the potential of the message. That is way more profound than most of you are even looking. You're looking at me like, so what? Write it down, and I promise you at some point during the week, you will come to read that again, and you'll go, flippin' Nora. I wish it was my own revelation. It's not. It was Marcel. He said it to me about 5 or 6 times privately in our home. Andrew, they can only believe to the potential of the message. That's why this church matters. Think about this country. Think about levels of unforgiveness and bitterness and strife. We can only believe to the potential of the message. That's why this matters. We're not going to compromise it this year. We're not going to sit back on it this year. We're not going to be intimidated this year. I just want you to think, if you were in the children of Israel and you were walking along, knowing that you'd been delivered and knowing that you'd heard stories. I mean, there's lots in this. You know, Joshua and Caleb knew all the stories of deliverance from Egypt. All the people knew what God had done. But even the stories of old are not enough to move you into the future. It takes a spirit in the moment to go, it's not me, it's him. And I'm going to possess it. That's grace. That's why it matters. Let me put it the other way around. If it's all about you and how you see it, and here's the point. Do you know what struck me over Christmas? The majority of people in this country will be with you for now. Isn't that amazing? The majority of the people in your life will go, oh, you're right. Don't believe for that. That's mental. 10 out of 12 came back and went, nah. Heard the same message, had the same promise, the same thing spoken over their life. But the vast majority of people out there today will go. And the vast majority of those people are in the church. That's why we're different. I have been reinvigorated. Is that a word? Yeah. Invigorated? That's a word. Yes. Invigorated? That's invigorated?
Yes. That's a word.
Is it? Thank you. It sounds right in my head, but lots of things sound right in my head, which are clearly not. And so, around this, and what it does is it causes me to rest, actually. At this time of the year, we should be kind of going, we've got 65 days of prayer and fasting and climbing the mountain of the Lord. We're going to set up camp on Cave Hill and light bonfires of the Spirit. And the Lord will come like the dove from above and speak. And the Lord went, no, 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 listen, everything you need. If you want to do that, please knock yourself out. I'm not trying to be naughty or funny. But know what the Lord said to me? What's all that about? I've already given it to you to inherit. Believe it, rest in it, receive it, and go possess it. The Spirit of grace will lead you in to possess your possessions. Amen.